What follows is an interview with Jasmine Rise, Vice President of the California Association of Community College Registrars and Admissions Officers, otherwise known as CACRO. This interview took place by phone on Friday afternoon, October 14, 2011, and is the first in a series of interviews with the CACRO executive officers intended to introduce them to the CACRO membership and the larger community. My name is Dan Angelo, and I'm here with Jasmine Rise at College of the Canyons. Jasmine, let's start by having you tell us what your title is at Canyons.
Well, it's one of those really nice long ones. It's Director of Admissions, Records, and Online Services.
Now, that sounds like it covers a lot of ground. What is the scope of your responsibility? What is the totality of what you're responsible for?
That's funny. It seems like everything and nothing all at the same time. All of admissions and records, we have about 15 employees here, full-time employees. I'm also in charge of all of the admissions and records side of non-credit, well, actually the student services side of non-credit. So I have employees over there as well. The student business office reports to me as well, and then any of the online services, so web advisor for students, all of the website management is in our scope as well.
Now, website management for the whole school or just for your area?
Management for our side. So with WebAdvisor, it's pretty much all of WebAdvisor.
Right.
And then with students, staff, faculty. But the website itself is really just the student services area.
Okay. How many students do you enroll annually at Canyons?
Such a tricky question. Because we have instructional service agreement programs with the LAPD, LA Sheriff, LADA, Lifeguard, Fire, where our total numbers are roughly between 22 and 25,000 students a year. But on-ground students that do not include those populations, it's right around 14 or 15,000.
And let's talk a little bit about your education and how you came to be where you are. What level of education have you completed?
I've gone through my master's degree, and I'm currently in my doctorate degree.
And your doctorate will be in?
Organizational leadership.
And where were you before you worked at College of the Canyons?
Ooh, good question. Where wasn't I? I was a waitress. I worked for a temp agency. I was a full-time employee with the agency to run payroll for all of the temps that were out across the country. So I ran weekly payroll for about 750 employees and hated that job. So I'm much more of a people person. I'd rather deal with people than numbers. So that's why I made the switch. I kept my waitressing job the entire time I did that job because I hated being stuck in a cubicle.
Mm.
So that's when I saw the job in the paper and applied and haven't left since.
And what was the job that you applied for? Was it your directorship?
Oh, no. I applied and received the Student Services Specialist 1, the lowest position you could get in the student services area, in the Student Development Office. And my job was to take minutes and run all of the ASG-type activities, so any kind of travel they had to do. I was basically the ASG secretary. And I also ran the front office of student development where I'd make student IDs and book vendors on campus and that kind of stuff.
And what is it that attracted you to admissions and records work? I mean, you know, this always fascinates me because you go into any high school or college career office, admissions and records is never listed anywhere as an option. There's no formal career path. So I'm always fascinated what brings people into this field.
What was funny is when I was in the student development office, Debbie Rio, who is my mentor, she is known throughout the admissions and records field. She was the director of admissions and records, and she had a position opening up in her office. And she knew that I was ready to move somewhere. I made it very clear to everyone that, yeah, this has been fun making student IDs, but I really need something else. And I had been friends with a lot of the people in admissions and records. They had come to my wedding. And so when the job opened up, I went to Debbie and said, you know, do you think I could apply for this job? And, of course, the way Debbie is, of course, anybody could apply. So So I did, and I got the job as her administrative assistant, and the rest is history. I've just promoted from there and stayed beneath Debbie's wings.
Now, for those who don't know, Debbie Rio actually, when I first knew her, was the secretary in the admissions and records office at Mount San Antonio College. Mm-hmm. Subsequent to that, came to our district here in San Bernardino and worked in our computer services area, and ultimately transferred over to Canyons, where you came in contact with her. So
yep,
there is, you know, a succession and a community here as well.
Oh, completely. And Debbie's been the CACRO president. She was in CACRO for many, many years and is still considered a great part of CACRO. She won the Robert Brown Award last year, so she's definitely big in CACRO.
And that's a good segue to my next question. What brought you to become involved in CACRO? I mean, it's not automatic.
Yep.
You know, just because you work in admissions and records doesn't mean that you're going to become involved in the State Professional Association. So I'm just curious what it was that attracted you in that direction.
Well, Debbie, when I first started on, Debbie invited me to go to my first CACRO, and that was probably 8 years ago now. And it was in Palm Springs. Had a wonderful time, thought it was one of the best conferences I had ever been to, really enjoyed the people there and the knowledge that everybody had, and I thought, this is where I need to be. I really like this. And so I just continued to go every year. Some years I was pregnant, some years I had little kids running around, and eventually I wanted to run for the rep so that I can actually represent people within CACRO, and was the rep for 2 years for Regions 5 and 6. And then the following year, put my name in the hat for vice president. That's where I'm at now.
And there you are, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what, if you can, describe the role of the vice president of CACRO?
Mm-hmm. The vice president is one of I guess, four really, of the kind of elected positions. When you become you're elected in as vice president, then you go and be president-elect, then president, then past president. The vice president's real main job is to make sure that the vendors are all taken care of for the conference. We want to book them. That's where our money comes from. So I'm really the vendor liaison type person. And then hopefully help to make the changes that CACRO wants to see changed, or get the voice of CACRO into whatever the chancellor's office is working on.
In what... In your opinion, what kind of progress is being made there? Do you feel like we're making strides, or?
I think we're making huge strides. Just in the 3 years that I've been on the board, I think that it's changed dramatically. The first year that I was on the board, we were just pushing to even just try to get the chancellor's office to let us have a seat at the table or invite us to ask for our opinion. Now, the chancellor's office wants us at every table that comes up, and they email us ahead of time to say, can you look at this to see if there's any problems before we send it out. Granted, they might not take into account everything that we say, but at least they're asking for our opinion now, and we are at least having the dialogue with them before they put out guidelines. So that's been very helpful. And then also on our listserv, you see the chancellor's office is always sending stuff to us on the listserv instead of us having to find it somewhere else and get it out to our own field. So it's really nice that now they've really seen CACRO as a serious organization, one that understands the process, the day-to-day aspects of the laws that they're putting into place. So I think we've made really good strides in that area.
I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about Jasmine Rise, the person. Tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in Simi Valley, California, a little suburb north of Los Angeles. Very small, quaint town. Loved it. I have a brother who I grew up with. My sister is 7 years older than me, so she left when I was 11 because she moved out when she was 18. And I grew up, I was true and true Simi. I graduated from Simi High. I was on the softball team. I then got into UC Santa Barbara and went there, and still did not have a major my junior year because I really enjoyed Santa Barbara, and decided to transfer to Kowloon so that I could actually graduate in 4 years. So I am a graduate of Kowloon with a history degree. That's where I met my wonderful husband, Steve. And we started dating when I was 19 and got married when I was 25. And we have two beautiful girls. They're 5 and 4, Sophia and Olivia. And they are just the best kids ever. I can say that because I'm their mom, and they're also cute as hell. So, I shouldn't say hell on this. I'm sorry. And, that's me. I mean, I love education. I never really wanted to leave college, so it's pretty cool that I'm working at one. And I still am going to college, and I just don't want to stop. I got my master's degree in counseling, and I have a great life. I truly enjoy it.
You don't mind my asking, what did your parents do?
My dad is a computer technician, and my mom is an insurance adjuster.
Ah.
Yeah. So they were, my mom and dad both, they met while in college. My mom worked in the OPS, and my dad was an EOPS student. So they, over at Cal State Long Beach, or Cal State LA, at West LA, and then they both transferred to Cal State Long Beach together. So, it was pretty cool. They really believe in education, too, and made it easy for me, so that's important.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, what are you reading now?
Oh, what am I not reading? So, I just finished, amazingly enough, I'm usually reading 2 or 3 books at a time. I just finished Richard Castle's Heat Rising. So if you watch the TV show Castle, it's about a fictional writer. Well, they put out his books. So I've read them all, and Heat Rising is the latest one. So I just finished that this weekend. I am reading Ties to Tattoos right now for my dissertation process. And that's about management of the new millennial generation. And I am in the middle of a book called Spiral Dynamics, which is organizational leadership stuff. So those are the three that I was in the middle of. I also just read The Help, which is amazing. So there, that's what I was in.
Have you seen the movie, The Help?
No, and I'm really not sure if I want to, because I love the character so much in my head that I don't know if I want somebody else's perspective on it.
See, this is where you and I differ. I've seen the movie. I've not read the book.
And see, I love these characters, and I don't know if... It was the same with when I read the Harry Potters. Loved the books, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to see the movies because of somebody else's take of what they look like. But I always end up loving the movie. So, we'll see.
Okay.
I'll get there when it comes out on video.
I was going to say, let us know.
Yep.
So, speaking of movies, what is your favorite movie?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so one that I could watch 100 times is A Whole Nine Yards. That was a few years back with Bruce Willis and Matthew Perry. It's where Matthew Perry's a dentist and Bruce Willis is an old mob guy. I've watched that a million times. And let's see, I also love all the Harry Potter movies. I just watched Red again. That was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like comedies. I'm very big into comedies. Bridesmaids was awesome, so was Hangover. anything that makes me laugh, I love.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to the professional, Jasmine.
Yes.
What are your plans for the future? You're working on a doctorate.
I am.
Do you envision that as a stepping stone for a career move?
I hope so, because I'm putting so much money into it. I need to pay it back in some way. I don't want to leave A&R anytime soon. I really love admissions and records. I know the further up you move, the less contact you have with students, so that's my main concern, is balancing that. I definitely want to be a dean, maybe a vice president one day. But I don't necessarily think that's right now. So I know that with my doctorate, I definitely want to teach and I want to write. I want to write a few books and possibly do some consulting. So that's what I'm hoping. Right now, really, it's wide open. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm just worried about eating tonight, you know.
Yeah.
I can't really think past tonight.
Let me just comment that the accepted wisdom about the higher up you go, the less contact you have with students. I can tell you from experience that that is true mm-hmm. if you want it to be true.
That's the thing. I don't want it to be true. So
you have the option of maintaining contact with students, perhaps under different circumstances and,
exactly.
you know, in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But that remains a choice that you can make at the other levels.
Exactly. And I really want, I know this sounds odd, the two things that I really want to learn, student discipline. I did student discipline when I was a student as the student representative. So I'd really like to get back involved in that. And then I really want to get involved into negotiations with unions. So, I know. We'll see one day.
Okay.
I know. Odd, huh?
Those are not things that most people aspire to, Jasmine.
I know. But those are two things I'm really interested in. I love negotiating, so I just love the debate. So we'll see what happens with that.
Okay, well, that sort of is a good segue to my next question. And what is it that drives you? What motivates you? What is it about this job that causes you to get up in the morning and be excited about going to work?
Oh, the people I work with, the type of knowledge that we work with. I love detective work, so trying to find it in Title V, trying to find it in what makes it so that I can do that and writing the rules on what we can and can't do. I love doing that kind of stuff. I have an amazing staff I work with that they make me want to be here every day because we have so much fun in this office. We laugh a lot. In fact, I actually had a student tell me we laughed too much. So I like that. I love anything that, you know, makes you appreciate what you have, and I appreciate everything of what I've accomplished, of my family structure. So if it gives me that drive to keep doing it and keep allowing these new opportunities to come up. I'm not one to sit back and do nothing, that's for sure. Even if I won Lotto, I always told my husband I'd still work.
What was his response to that?
He says I'm crazy, but he'll travel without me. I told him I'd go to part-time so we could travel a lot.
There you go. Let me go back to the CACRO context. The succession is vice president to president-elect to president.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years from now, you're going to be in a very different role and very much a leadership role. Based on your experience with the association and what you know about yourself, what is your vision for the CACRO presidency under Jasmine Rise?
Oh, that's a great question. And you know, I don't have any big plans. I don't have anything laid out of specific agenda items I want to get set. But I want to keep moving CACRO forward in being the body that people like the Chancellor's Office, people like legislators should turn to when trying to enact a new law. We have so much knowledge in admissions and records when it pertains to pretty much any area. We go beyond admissions and records. We also know instruction stuff. We know contact hours. We know how many students can be on a wait list and things like that. That we, if people would talk to us about that information, we have the knowledge base for them. So I think I really just want to push that CACRO is a body of knowledge and should be used for that. And then also I think it's important to push out to the field how important CACRO can be for them. The relationships that I've built in CACRO have helped me further myself in my job because I learn from all of my colleagues. I have gained so much knowledge that I wouldn't have been able to do on my own. So I want to get that message out to the other, you know, 60 colleges that don't participate. So I would love to reach out to them as well.
Well, we're coming down just to the last couple of minutes that we have, and one last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you retire, and that's a long way off, I know. But when you retire, what do you want your colleagues in the state to say about you as a professional? What kind of a legacy do you want to have left?
Oh, that's a great question. The number one thing I always want people to say about me is that I am so funny. So, but professionally, I'm not sure that's what I want to do. I think that I want people to say, you know what, when she believed in something, she would be behind you 110%. She's an advocate, and she worked hard for us, and she really had students in mind first. So if anybody even said something remotely close to that about me, I'd be pretty proud. But definitely the humor.
Well, I think that based on my experience and our relationship, that your legacy is safe, that you can expect both of those things to be true.
That's great.
Listen, I want to thank you very much for this time, and we'll be talking to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate this.